Greetings to each one. Enjoy the service. Thought did enter my mind, maybe after that, I'd call that a profound lesson. After that lesson, maybe we have as much as we can handle. It take us the rest of the day to consider that lesson and practice it. Appreciate that. And certainly we have room to grow, I believe, in that area. But maybe for a little while, since we don't have a service on this evening or Wednesday evening, maybe we go ahead with this service. You can turn with me to 1 Peter 1. We're going to look at the end of 1 Peter 1 and 1 Peter 2. Revelations 19 says, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are true sayings of God." This is a day that we look forward to with anticipation. Sometimes we class days or put days in categories. We say this is a special day. And then other days are ordinary days when we do everyday things. Well, the day spoken of here is not an ordinary day. But we do need to do everyday things if we want to be there on that special day. So we could title this message this morning, an everyday message. Nothing fancy, just everyday living. Let's read these verses here from 1 Peter, starting at verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." I'm not at the right place. Oh, that didn't seem right. All right, I was in chapter 2 to start with. Starting at verse 22, or chapter 1, 1 Peter. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto as they were appointed. But ye also are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth to the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past ye were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In recent times, we've heard terms like this: deep cleaning, sanitizing, personal protection, and there's been a lot of effort that's been made to contain the virus. And to decontaminate areas that may have been exposed to COVID-19. We also live in a time where there's a lot of concern about cleaning up the environment, the air and the water and such like. As you, along with me, have noticed in the past few weeks, suddenly we've seen products that were commonplace, such as Germex and other sanitizers, face masks, etc. These products went from readily available to not available, all because of a concern to protect one from a virus. Or maybe we're concerned about something different this morning. Maybe it's about a spot on the front of our shirt. I noticed I have one on my arm here. I noticed that one sitting in church here. Maybe if I keep it turned down, you won't notice it. But, you know, we like to have nice white clothes, we like to have clean clothes. And I have a travel mug that's notorious for letting a drip of coffee drop. Well, I was attending a wedding of a niece one time, and on the drive there, the unthinkable happened, and I got coffee spilled down the front of my shirt, or drops on it. And so when I arrived, I started complaining to one of my sisters that was also there about my misfortune. And, oh, she said, I have just what you need. And she whipped out a little cleaning stick that was made to remove coffee stains from white shirts. And presto, the stain was gone. And my image was saved, and I could enjoy the day. Well, you know, in our spiritual life, one sin can stain the whole life. The Bible talks about the fuller. Mark 9:3 says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. Jesus' clothes, when he came down off of the Mount of Transfiguration, were as brighter than any person could launder them. But we're not really talking about clothes here this morning. Neither are we talking about doorknobs or our hands or the air or water. We're talking about man's soul. Jeremiah 2:22 says, for though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith Lord God. We can use as much Germex, spray the door knobs with as much bleach as we want to. It will not remove our iniquity. Here in 1 Peter 22, it tells us, seeing we have purified your souls in obeying the truth purifies. Proverb writer says, buy the truth and sell it not. We should include ourselves. If we would really understand our sinful condition and what it will take to purify, then the shelves on the bookstores should have been emptied in short order. Christian bookstores, I'm talking about shelves, stores that sell the Bibles. They should have been emptied as. Just like people hurried to buy up the Germex and Lysol, so people should be buying up the truth. We're really concerned about society's condition. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, shall make you free. Knowing the truth about our own carnal condition, know the truth about what we must do to have our sins washed away. Not only knowing the truth, but applying it to our lives. We know that if the Lysol or detergent is left in the bottle, it will have no effect on germs or on soiled clothes. Just knowing the truth, is, as we know facts, is not enough, but we need to apply them to our own lives. Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. James also tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I believe that the Holy Spirit is of great importance, as in the cleaning of the soul, the Spirit convinces the soul of its impurities and then gives us grace to exercise faith and hope, the fear of God and love for Jesus. I believe that the soul of the Christian must be purified before there can be very much love for one another. In fact, we're hitting on this love this morning pretty hard, aren't we? But it is something that's very necessary. There are so many selfish interests that we have. So many, we have feelings of partiality in carnal man, that without divine grace, love, he cannot love God as he should, or he cannot love his fellow man as he should. It's only out of a pure heart that we can have real charity. I'm not sure if Rodney read this verse or not. In this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God loveth his brother also. We receive that commandment to love one another. And as we practice this type of love in our daily lives to the people of God, Bible-believing Christians can have that inner strength to love this special kind of divine love. I believe this divine love that we need is the spirit in the heart that will never seek anything but the highest good for our brethren. This love will cause one to sacrifice and give and have compassion. It will cause us to want to build another up. It will cause us to want to build a relationship with another, even if it may cost us dearly. It will cause one to help, even when help is not deserved. And Jesus is a source of this divine love. When he is part of your life, you can receive power to enable you to have the ability to love like this. Verse 23 talks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. The word of God gives man the plan so that we can be born again. This new birth is more excellent than the first, it says. The first, or the apostle teaches by preferring the incorruptible to the corruptible seed. By one we become the children of men, by the other we become sons and daughters of the Most High. The word of God being compared to seed teaches us that though it is little in appearance, yet it is wonderful in operation. Though it lies hid a while, yet it grows up and produces excellent fruit at the end. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. When we think of the lifespan of man, the changes that he faces, changes in his physical body as he grows older, we're reminded of Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I believe maybe there's been at least three individuals that passed away this week that are related to someone here in this congregation. We had Larry Martin pass away, and I believe, Kayleen, you had an aunt pass away, and I had an aunt pass away all this week, I believe. My aunt was, I think maybe, I have it right, one of 13 of my father's family, and there's two left out of the 13, my father and one brother. So we see life moves along. There's a lot of emphasis put on the health and long life in our day, and yet even with that being a priority, if that would be a priority in your life, our years are still numbered as the grass and the flowers, and we'll succumb to disease. Short and fleeting. What can man accomplish in his lifetime? What can he do? What can man do that could be considered the glory of man? We think about some of the great inventions of man in the past and on up into the present. The wheel, we really don't think we really know who actually invented the wheel. Possibly a group of people called Sumerarians from the area of ancient Mesopotamia. We think about more recently Henry Ford and his work with the automobile. He began by using standardized parts, interchangeable parts, and assembly line techniques in his plants. And with this practice, made the automobile affordable to many people. And so it became an important item in our society. Thomas Edison, an inventor whose development of the practical light bulb and the generating systems had profound effect on the shaping of modern society. And then we have people like the French chemist who invented the process of pasteurizing and developed vaccines for several diseases. Many lives were saved because of the discovery of penicillin. And the list could go on. We have more recently people like Bill Gates and developing Microsoft Windows, making the personal computer a household item. But these are all things that will pass away. And the individuals responsible for developing them have or will pass away. These things have benefited man in this life only. Psalm 49:17. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Comparing these things to the truths that we find in God's word, we see that they are incomparable. The truth sets men free. It shall never change, never fade away. Verse 1 of chapter 2 gives a list of things that need to be dismissed from our experience. If we want to have an appetite for the truth, if we want to have a desire for the sincere milk of the word, when man is sick and his body is riddled with disease, he does not have an appetite for food. Food that his body needs. I believe it's somewhat this way with our spiritual appetite. If we have these things in our life, we will not have an appetite. Malice, a desire to harm others or to see others suffer. This is part of the old life that needs to go. And it will certainly keep us from growing if we leave it in our life. Genesis 27:41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob. This is one of the many examples of what hatred will do. We read accounts of the terrible things that man will do, terrible places he will go to harm others because of hate in his heart. Gao is mentioned, being deceitful. This is also an age-old problem that we continually need to deal with yet today. Hypocrisies, counterfeit religious piety, pretending to have a relationship with the Lord, but when it's not convenient, room is given for carnal man to express itself in carnal ways.
You see this in society. On a social level, hypocrisy is counterfeit friendship. Some of the ways that this could be expressed, giving compliments which the person giving them really doesn't believe, or making promises that they never intend to perform. And we see this adults doing this to children. So we need to be careful that we are honest. And the things we say, we actually carry them out. People should be able to trust us. Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. The way we present products that we might sell, services we render, the labor we perform, these are all important and affect our relationship with the Lord. There are business practices that are accepted by the world system that we do not accept. Proverbs 20:14, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasted. Seems like in buying and selling, there's a real temptation to do wrong. Leviticus 19:35-37, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, or in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore ye shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord. I like the testimony in 2 Kings 12:15. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men in whose hand they delivered the money to bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. For your encouragement, in my work, I hear about you. We have different businessmen here this morning, working in different areas. And I hear about you, and it's complimentary. Keep it that way. I even heard about Tony on Friday. Keep it that way. 4, envying and evil speakings. They seem to go together. Speaking against one another or defaming him. This is something that we need constantly to guard against. We have a tendency to speak unkindly about another when he's not present. This hinders our relationship with our Lord. Is that important? It's been said the best Christians have need to be cautioned and warned against the worst sins, such as malice, hypocrisy, and envy. Christians are sanctified, yet are still liable to temptations. So we need to continually make sure that these vices are not in our life, so that we have a desire for the word. By partaking of the word, it strengthens us for this battle. What does it mean to desire the sincere milk of the word, as newborn babes do? Don't think this verse is saying that older, more mature Christians reach a point where they no longer need to feed on the word of God, even the simpler truths. I believe it is saying that we should always desire the word with as much zeal and enthusiasm as a hungry infant desires milk, that ye may grow thereby. The word of God, when rightly used, does not leave a man as it finds him, but improves and makes him better. And as we take in the truth of God's word, we realize that truly the Lord is gracious. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He will withhold from them. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's quite a promise. Stop and think what that means to you and I. Think of the rest that we can have. We know that God is all-knowing God. We know that he is in control of all things. We know that he is in control of COVID-19. Psalm 135:6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all the deep places. 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Simple word, God knows our needs, and he will not withhold those things from us that would benefit us. So we really don't need to be fretting about those things that we are out of control, that are out of our control. But they do affect us, but we don't need to be fretting about them. Trust in God. He is entirely trustworthy, and he is the one that knows our need, and he is the one that can do something about it. Sometimes we as men see a need, but it's out of our reach to help. But not so with God. He is well able. Verse 4, apostle here gives a description of Jesus Christ as a living stone. A stone describes his strength, everlasting duration. It also teaches his servants that he is their protection and security, and the foundation on which they are built. Jesus Christ, the very foundation stone of our hopes and happiness. There are many people building on something else, and you and I probably have done some of that ourselves. But when the storms of life come, as they surely will, those that have built on the sand of materialism, the sand of high social life, the sand of fame, the sand of a career, all those things that the world offers, those buildings, those lives will crash. We have built on those types of foundations. We see many people's lives are falling apart. I believe Brother Keith said on Wednesday evening that the biggest cause of death is suicide. We don't know why all that is, why all the suicides take place, but apparently people's lives are falling apart. Many times, as in the children's song, the house went crash. People's lives fall apart with a crash. But those who build on Jesus Christ have an access to the Father, and it is through Jesus that we receive spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Man in general disallow and reject Jesus Christ. They slight him, ignore him, oppose him, and refuse him. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Moving on, verse 5 teaches the priesthood of the believer. We can go directly to Christ with our spiritual sacrifices and prayers. We have no need of priests and other means to reach God. Revelation 1:6, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 20:6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Right, from according to verses 9 through 12, what is the characteristics of the chosen generation, strangers and pilgrims on this earth? One, they are a holy people. Question comes to you and I, is the life that I'm living a holy life? The activities that I was involved in through this past week, would they be considered holy or unholy? How do we know if they are or are not? Well, we should hold them up to the light of God's word, and that is what we will be judged by. Second characteristic, offering the sacrifice of praise. As it was already mentioned this morning, we should not be a melancholy type of person, people. We should be praising the Lord for what he has done for us and what he has done for you. He has called us out of darkness, called us out of a life of sin and despair. Praise the Lord that we don't have to live in darkness, but We don't have to live in bondage that Satan would like to keep us in. Third, abstaining from fleshly lusts. We need to be a disciplined people. There's much overindulgence in our day, overindulgence in legitimate things. That turns into sin. We should abstain from that. Our conversation, fourth, our conversation, our lives should be honest. When we are honest, we are open. We are not trying to hide. And when we live by God's word, there will be good works. We have mentioned just a few of those, and perhaps another day we can look at some more of them. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for he is the whole, for this is the whole duty of man. And the Lord bless each one as you continue to live a pure and holy life, and trust that you will take the challenges and the word, God's word, to keep your life pure and holy. Lord bless you. Turn back over to the Holy Spirit.